right, into
that ball's hit pretty well to left. Soder's trouble. Watch this one go! Altuve with his third home run of the homestand. And hit number 10 in this same homestand. He makes it 5-0 Astros. Altuve drills one to center field. Back Denzel Clark near the wall. Jumps up. It's gone again! Two for Tuve! His second two home run game in the homestand! And the Astros lead 9-0. Jose Altuve having himself a homestand. Trying to hold up. That's the ball game. Soderstrom strikes out for the fourth time. And the Astros win it 11-1 to get to four games over 500 for the first time in 25.
Hell yeah. Oh, yeah. Crank it up, Ben. We did it at 6. We'll do it at 9. Yeah. Four games over 500. As of right now, in 2025, that is enough to dust off Cool and the Gang, because they've not been four games over 500 yet until last night. 11-1, the final score. I didn't realize Soderstrom struck out four times in that game. Rough night for that dude. Not a rough night for Jose Altuve. It was the opposite. He was on base four times in that game. 4 for 4, two bombs. And he's on fire, Seth, since you and I took him to task.
Well over 500 in this homestand. I think that Altuve is back. I think he's definitively broken his slump. Where does he settle in this year? I think probably somewhere typically where he does settle in, around really good baseball player.
Yeah, really.
So the big question is, all right, now when Yordan comes back, can we just, if we just get old classic Yordan back, and we're off to the races, Sean.
That would be
great. We're off to the races, damn it.
That would be beautiful. It's funny, someone said on the text page, where is it? Have the Astros considered making Altuve the DH and someone else becomes the left fielder? Here's the thing. You're forgetting that Yordan Alvarez, that text almost seems like somebody is forgetting Yordan Alvarez is on the team. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, hey, let's make Altuve the DH. Well, there is this guy named Yordan Alvarez who this team is hell-bent on making practically the full-time DH. Occasional games in left field. So, no, Altuve is going to be out there. Once Yordan comes back, Altuve is going to be out there defensively way more often than not. Either at second base or in left field, he's going to be out there. And you know what? So far in left field, it hasn't been terrible out there. It's been okay. It's for Altuve. You know, I don't know.
Yeah, there's times where, I mean, the throw he had home, the nice throw that he made to get Raleigh out at home a few days ago was like the only reason there was a play to be made was because it was Jose Altuve in left field.
Yeah, they challenged
him. They wouldn't have sent him against hardly any other left fielder out there. So there's going to be weaknesses. But yeah, as long as he's hitting the way he's hitting right now, or that he was early in the season, then that's you're okay with that trade-off. But he's not going to be a full-time DH.
Look, that throw is not going to scare most of the league, but it will keep some third base coaches. I'm like, all right, well, the guy's not a joke in left field. That was a good throw. You know, it was one hop on the money, and he threw out a very slow catcher on the Seattle Mariners. If he had three-hopped it, if it had been Chaz's throw on the walk-off play last week, on the sack fly walk-off, I forget. I think that was against Tampa Bay, maybe. I forget who that was against. Might have been against Seattle, whatever, where he three-hopped it 8 feet to the left of home plate. Like, then you're like, all right, well, but at least, you know, Altuve made a throw that third base coaches at least have to think before sending a really slow player to try to challenge the arm. 12 for 21, 4 home runs, 7 RBIs, 9 runs scored, OPS of 1734. That's what Jose Altuve has done since what some of you think was the ultimate show of disrespect happened, me and Seth leaving him out of the circle of trust, when in fact, all it was A, an appropriate assessment of where he was at as a player at that point, and B, it would appear something that lit a fire under Altuve and is now taking the Astros to heights that they have not seen yet thus far in the 2025 season.
You know, if you look at his outs above average, you're like, oh, he's at a 1. All right, that's way better. You know, 2023 and 2024, he was in the negatives in outs above average. And then you realize he's at a 1 because he's got 3 outs above average at second base, -2 in left field.
Okay.
So, yeah. he's looked like a very promising young second baseman when he's played second base this year.
That's what
he's made some nice plays.
Those are actually really good second base numbers. Look, I'm not saying he's winning a Gold Glove in left field. I'm having a hard time finding instances I can remember where he lost games for them in left field. And let's face it, the first few times he was out there in spring training, it was a circus out there. You know, like he's misplaying fly balls and he's trying to get the ball out of his glove to his throwing hand and it's rolling 10 feet to his right. So that's been good. Altuve's been good. Pena hits another home run. Well on my way to cashing my over 14.5 home run ticket for Pena. I'll take it, even though he hit it to the sliver of the ballpark where there and Tampa Bay's ballpark are the only two stadiums where that would have been a home run.
Yeah.
The bandbox, it is Tampa Bay and Daikin Park, but we'll take it with Jeremy Pena. You raise an interesting point here on Jake Meyers. Okay, if they can get an everyday center fielder here that you feel like isn't a hole in the lineup and is giving you good defense, boy, this would be a real find for the Astros 5 years into Jake Meyers' career. Why should I feel better about this version of Jake Meyers? That, you know, I'm the Jake Meyers skeptic on this show.
I think, yeah, no, and I'll be totally transparent because it's impossible to ignore. You have pointed out, man, Jake Meyers this time last year was pretty much the exact same player that Jake Meyers is this time of year, statistically. And then Meyers just fell off a cliff for the last two-thirds of the season. So I think for me, it's that they made definitive changes in his approach and in his swing that seemed to be yielding the results they wanted. He added the leg kick, and it just that part of it where he's shown better judgment at the plate, it all seems tied together, including his performance in spring training. The thing that scares me a little bit is there was an article in the Chronicle. Yeah, it was in the Chronicle about like how well he's doing this year and how, you know, the numbers are different than his career. So swinging at pitches outside the strike zone at a rate 7.7% lower than last season.
Okay, that's significant.
Just 8 qualified hitters had lowered their year-over-year chase rate by a larger percentage.
Okay.
I like that, but I still don't know. Like, what about this year compared to this time last year? His strikeout rate last year at this time was 19%.
Yeah.
This year it's 17.4%.
Okay.
It's not like he's striking out that much less. His career is 25.1%.
Yeah. As of a couple days ago, he'd only struck out 9 times this month. He struck out 16 times in the big month he had last year in May when he had a 924 OPS, but he was still 16's a bunch. I'm not expecting him to all of a sudden become this great contact hitter, but if he's having more competitive at-bats and he's just, quite frankly, when he does hit the ball, if he's hitting it harder, I am here to embrace and love Jake Meyers. It's just he's, one, over the last few years, not given me that much to love about him, and two, the one time he did give me something to love about him, he betrayed me personally in the worst possible way by having a 586 OPS the remainder of the season. Mm-hmm. So fool me once, shame on Jake. Fool me twice, shame on me, I think is how the old saying
goes. You've been burned. You've been hurt before.
I have,
and
man.
You don't want to get hurt again.
I want to love him.
You've built calluses on your soul.
I want to love him.
You're not just going to fall in love with just what any howdy doody hayseed that falls off a bus from Nebraska.
Yes.
You know? You're like, no, listen, kid, you're going to have to prove yourself in the big city.
That's right. The chasing balls out of the strike zone thing is big because that was, you know, there's strikeouts and then there's strikeouts where you look like you're just guessing and you're completely overwhelmed up there.
Yeah.
That is something. You convincing me via numbers hasn't pushed me all the way to trust Jake Meyers that this will continue, but I'm closer than I was before.
He also talked in that article by Matt Kawahara that he's learned about how pitchers make you adjust.
Yeah.
And that in the past, when they've pushed him into an adjustment period, he's lost focus on some of the basics or some of the things that he should be focused on. So it does sound like he's learned some hard lessons from going through those. It's just it's the old cliche of, oh, pitchers catch on to you. They start, you know, attacking you differently. Then you got to make an adjustment.
Yeah.
He's been through a few cycles of that now that maybe this is the final one.
Yep. Let's hope so, man. I'm here for it. Text messages coming in. This goes back to us playing the Julio Jones audio of him not being able to rewatch the Super Bowl. Still can't watch the U of H NC State championship game, but every year they roll out the highlights during March Madness. That's a good question. I feel like this is right up our alley. Is it wrong that I still hate Jim Valvano but he's no longer with us. Do you still?
No, that's all right.
Yeah.
That's because you could separate it. There's sports hatred and then there's others. Yeah.
Right.
It's not like all of a sudden, if you. This is a judgment I use also when people are old, crotchety people. You know, you tend to think, okay, they're old, give it a break, you know, just be patient. If they were a-holes when they were young adults, and a-holes when they were middle-aged, and then continue to be a-holes when they're senior citizens, they are afforded no extra, there's no generosity
like
in my
that.
Soul for the grumpy old man who is always a grumpy.
I like that. This, I think, sir or ma'am, what you're asking is this similar to how Rob Manfred treated Pete Rose, where like, oh, he's dead now, we can reinstate him in baseball. Like, Valvano's dead, I can stop hating him. And I would tell you, no, it's sports hate, just like you said, Seth. This is not, as long as you're not showing up at his you know, descendants'
houses. A 25-year memoriam of his death or something.
Right. And then spray painting the grave afterwards, like graffiti and whatnot. Don't do that. But it's okay to sports hate him still. This goes back to our Amen Thompson conversation. To be fair, the whole Rockets offense needs Jesus, and our free throws need as much prayer as we can get. I'm guessing that's a play off the name Amen, I'm guessing, but I would say accurate. They should all be shooting the Kelvin Sampson 150 free throws a day. All of them.
Yeah. Yeah, all that does seem one of the ones that
that's
okay,
fixable.
Despite all of their shooting woes, yes, this you can't accept from a non-Shaq or Dwight Howard type human being, you can't accept routine 50% free throw shooting.
Yeah, yeah. Survivor is such trash now, y'all need to watch season 20 and 28. Sorry, Pentergast, P-E-N-T-E-R. Sorry you can't spell,
sir. Yeah,
sure,
I'm going to get right on that. All right, yeah.
The reason we brought up Survivor.
Trust me. Sorry, Astros, I'm not watching this afternoon. Yeah. I'm going to go watch seasons 20 and 28.
20 and 28. The season thing's been around for damn near 50 years. These are the random two seasons. Now, this seems like a Survivor junkie right here, I would say. The reason we're bringing this up, if you missed it, my daughter's boyfriend, Charlie, is invited back to Survivor to be on season 50. It's like the all-star season. So he was on 46, finished runner-up. People really liked him. And he was really good at the game, too. So he's invited back to play against some of the legends.
So, as Sean's telling you some news he's excited about, you're showing up and saying, like, that all sucks anyway.
Right.
Yeah. Like, what, dude, what the hell are what do you like at parties?
Yeah.
You
must
know?
Be a whole lot of fun.
Talking about how cool things were in the 70s?
Yeah.
Now this music. You're always complaining about the music that's playing in any given place. Ah! 1974, that was when music stopped being good.
This is the guy who you tell, this texter is the guy that you tell you just got a promotion with a big raise, and he shows you what tax bracket you're now in. You know, like, oh, okay, well, you're in the 33% bracket. Hope you enjoyed being in the 29%, because guess what? That job really sucks. You're going to have to pay more taxes.
Yeah, a lot of extra responsibility. Boy, you sure you really wanted this?
Random question, does Jose Altuve get to 3,000 hits? I've mashed the numbers on this many times. I think it's going to be close for Jose Altuve. He's somewhere in that 2,300 range right now, or 2,200 hits. You've got the I'm looking it up look on your face right now, Seth, so I trust that's what you're doing.
He's got 2,284 hits.
Okay, so right there, he's averaging, he used to average over 200 hits a season before he developed all this power. Now he's more of a power guy with about 160, 170 hits. He did have 200 hits, I think, a couple years ago when he was really trucking, I think, in 2023. So he's going to need a good – after this year, let's say he gets to 2,400 hits, somewhere around there. I think he's going to need 4 years to do it. I guess maybe if he sticks around, that's how many years he'll have left on his contract with the Astros. That would be kind of fun. If his last year is the last year of that deal at age 39, kind of like Biggio. And goes over that 3,000 hit mark, that would be cool. I don't think he needs to get into the Hall of Fame. I wonder if that's why people are asking, why this particular texter is asking that. It is a ticket into the Hall of Fame, but it's not necessary to get in. I think it really helped Biggio get in.
Yeah. For him, I think he's pretty much considered a slam dunk Hall of Famer unless something horrific happens over the next few years.
Yep.
He would need 179 hits per season, including... Well, no, I'm sorry. I messed that up. So he needs, over the course of the next four calendar years, he'd have to get 179. Let's just call it, it's really just a matter of how long he decides to keep playing.
It's going
to
be close. I think it's going to be really close for Altuve on the 3,000 hits. we left you out of our circle. You got, hey, you guys, we left you out of the circle of trust, Altuve. When did that happen that we left Altuve out of the circle of trust? I think is what they're trying to ask. It was last
Thursday. The day before the A's series started.
The day before the Mariners series started. The day of the Mariners series. Day of the Mariners series beginning. All right, Payne and Pendergast with you here on a Wednesday. All right, the criteria of being the face of a league. A take on ESPN yesterday. This might have take-a-mania potential as well. Kendrick Perkins on why Anthony Edwards cannot be the face of the NBA right now, and it has nothing to do with how good he is at basketball. That is coming up next.